How are you, Fifey?
I'm going well, thanks, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, really well. How's your break been? Oh, up until this point, you've been back at training, I know, for a little while, but did you get a chance to have a break?
I did. In sort of November, October, I went over to Costa Rica for a month and got a few waves and a bit of sun over there. And then over Christmas, AFL players now get 3 weeks break under our CBA agreement. And I went down south and also to Lake Grace to see the family. So a good time spent away.
Oh, I saw you doing a bit of surfing down there, mate. It's nice to see you didn't injure yourself, which has been talked about by a few in the media about what blokes should get up to during their holidays. But, God, you've got to be able to have some fun, don't you?
I think so. I think as soon as we start putting too many restrictions on players, it starts to cut into their mental space. And you want players to be in that optimum operating capacity. And whatever that is, whether it's surfing or hiking or whatever it is, to make sure that they're primed. And I think Ollie Wines, for example, he's been wakeboarding all his life. So to try and take that away from him, I think would be silly.
Yeah. Now, I saw you at the cricket last night. You were sporting a new haircut. What did you think of the cricket?
I didn't mind. I only ducked in for about 4 overs and then had to get back out because I had training the next day. But I think the Big Bash as a concept and as a party environment is great. And it's sort of something we're looking at with this AFLX concept that's coming up in a few weeks' time. It's for a younger demographic, and mums and dads can go along and watch a game of cricket in a couple of hours and get out. So I think it's great.
I want to ask you a lot about AFLX in a moment, but I heard you left training early today. How's your arm?
Yeah, not too bad. Sent a bit of a scare through the camp. I've got an inflamed bursa on my right elbow, which I'm sort of training with strapped up at the moment. And I got tackled and landed quite heavily on that exact spot. So it's pretty painful, but no lasting damage. It's just something I'm going to have to manage for the next couple of weeks.
Well, mate, it's not far away, is it? AFLX, just around the corner, 22nd of Feb at Marvel Stadium, and then I think matches shortly after that with the pre-season games. AFLX, just tell us about the concept, and obviously you're one of the spokespeople, so we've got to start pumping it up, as the AFL like us to do. Rectangular field aims to showcase the unique and most thrilling aspects of Australian football.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, the AFL came to me, Patrick Dangerfield, Jack Riewoldt, Eddie Betts, midway through last year and said, this is the concept, will you support it? And basically they said they're going to get the best 40 or 50 players in Australia. We can choose who we want, have a little pick-up game of footy one night at Etihad Stadium. All proceeds will go to charity. Players will get paid for their time. But to me, I couldn't really see anything wrong with it. People are looking at it going, there's possible injury risk. But if you just scan across any of the injury lists on any other AFL team at the moment, guys get injured through pre-season training because of the match simulation stuff that we do. So there's no increased risk as far as that's concerned. And the opportunity to play against the other best players in the country at this time of the year, I think is great. Rather than banging our heads against each other for sort of 6 or 7 weeks in a row through January, February and pre-season, we may as well be putting our talents on display against other players from across the competition. So I understand there's some scepticism around it, but the players want to play. That's the big thing. The best players in the country want to play. It's sure to be a fun night. It's targeted at kids and mums and dads. So the rusted on fans who love the game of AFL as it is, and I'm one of those people, it's not really target at those people as much. It's trying to attract a new audience, and hopefully it'll only complement the game that we know as AFL.
We've got the draft to look forward to. Who do you want to take first?
Oh, there's a fair pecking order. I think Luke Shuey is top of my list, as is Scott Pendlebury. I think Isaac Heaney would be good. I was talking to Marcus Bontempelli, who's my vice captain today, and he really wants to get Charlie Kurnow from Carlton on the books. So Alex Rance has put his hand up and wants to play with our team. Rory Sloane, Travis Boak from Adelaide, they're keen to play with us. So there's a number of players across the country, and we only get to choose 12. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what we do at the draft later this week.
Well, Bont's my favourite player in the competition, so I'm very happy with your first pick, and I reckon I'm on board with Fife's Flyers as a result. But what about Fremantle this year, Nathan? Obviously, 4 wins, 8 wins, 8 wins. What would you say to people who say it's finals are a failure for Freo this year.
Finals are a failure? Who's saying that?
I'll say that now.
Righto, on notice. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going into any AFL season hoping not to play finals. And we've quite publicly stated that we've been in a bit of a rebuild phase. We've been aggressive in the draft the last couple of years, but in particular this year, we've got four established players come across to our club. The big tall players, Hogan and Lobb, allow us to structure up differently. So there is cause, I think, for some optimism, but until we actually get out there on the field and start playing together, we won't really know how we stack up against other sides. We're quite hopeful that if everything comes together and we get good availability, that we'll be in the wash-up sort of come the mid part of the season. But there are just so many factors that are going to come into it other than just who our list is, who our best players are, and who our coach is.
How do you cover the loss of Lachie Neale in the midfield?
Yeah, Locke's a big loss from a leadership capacity and just his general ball winning, that contested type player. We also lose Connor Blakely for the first couple of games of the season with his hamstring, and Stephen Hill won't be available until about round three or four. So there is a bit of a hole there. Reece Conker's come across and he's putting his hand up, as is Travis Collier, and Chera and Brayshaw in their second years are players who are putting a lot of time and effort into getting them into our midfield. The obvious replacement is Dave Mundy, who's played as a forward for us the last year, year and a half, but he's an established midfielder, and most likely, particularly in the short term, he'll come back in and play as a midfielder.
Have you used Peter Bell as a sounding board? Obviously, a previous Fremantle Dockers captain, now the football manager down there at Fremantle, or the GM of football, and obviously a two-time premiership player at North, and I'd imagine a really nice sounding board for you as the current skipper.
Yeah, it's a good point. Billy and I have done some work together in an unofficial capacity over the last couple of years, just with questions surrounding captaincy and leadership. And now that he's around the club every day, a big resource that I can tap into. More so once the games start, how to handle the week-to-week messaging and getting around to players. He's got a big job on his hand as it is, getting to know all the systems and his role as footy ops manager. But yeah, definitely having a resource like Belly at arm's length is going to be valuable for me as captain.
I know that you guys do a lot of work on this, and it's drilled into you about how much pressure there is externally when it comes to social media and activities that you do away from the sporting field and all of that sort of stuff, Fifey. As one of the leaders in the game, and I'm talking not only from your club's perspective, but when it comes to the broader spectrum of sport around this country, how do you feel about that? Is there too much expectation? Is the pressure becoming a lot harder than say it was when you first started? How do you feel about the current environment in which you're operating in sport in this country?
Yeah, I've got to be careful not to speak for everyone. I can only really speak from my experience. And I wouldn't say that the pressure has gotten greatly more significant or less over the course of my career. You know, there are eyeballs watching athletes and role models. And as there should be, we get paid well. People look up to us. And there comes certain things that we have to be aware of. And I think social media now, with so much access to players, and you see a lot of their lives and behind the scenes, the players just really need to know what their audience is. And guys are getting caught out at times when they think they're sharing something with just their close mates, and actually it's getting picked up more broadly than that. And particularly in today's day and age, where a lot of news seems to be picking up their stories from social media and then running it on the news and running it through the papers, it really comes down to an education and awareness that players need to know people are watching at all times, and you just have to monitor your behaviour. But I wouldn't say the pressure is too great on players from my perspective.
And just going back, one last one, back to the AFLX, I'm just looking at the release that the AFL put out today, 14 players per team. So is that right? 14
That's
players.
Right.
So you
14
get,
players.
You and your vice-captain, you get to pick 12. That's how
That's
it
right.
works.
Yep.
Perfect. All right. Well, we'll see you in action then, Fifey. Thanks very much for having you act to us tonight, mate.
No worries at all, guys.